About nothing but winning. Well, that's all he cares about. So, saints of God, let's get in step with the word of God. You know, we need to have honor. We need to have honor. We need to just stop listening to what the world say. Stop listening and doing what the world say. And we need to know that God is heaping up glory and honor and position and power upon you. And you fall into step with the evil, nasty dictator. And this is going to be your pathway to hell. Because God, you can't serve two masters. God done already told us that. We're going to either love one and hate the other, or we're going to be indifferent to it. So you need, if you say you're serving God, and if you say you want God and you love God, then we need to stop and we need to backtrack. And we need to remember, when we come to these polls for election time, we need to elect somebody that have some God in their life, that have some moral values in their life, and stop just putting anybody in there talking about we want something different. Well, you got something different. When you got this president, you got something different. You got somebody that don't regard God, man, or nobody. Only thing he regards is himself and how he feels at the moment. And it could change every moment. Saints of God, let's stop playing. And let's begin to walk according to the way the Lord said walk. You know, we have to flee from our adversary, not follow him. We have to flee, we have to make him flee from us rather. He said we can speak the word and make the devil flee. We can make the adversary flee. Don't let him make us flee and run in peril for our life. He said we're supposed to make the devil flee, make him run. And how do you do that? By speaking the word of God. God forbid that we let evil come into our life, that we let anything evil dominate us and rule us. Because we are the children of God. And we need to act like that. All the church leaders, the pastors, the leaders all around the world, you need to stop following the world. That's what you're doing in a sense. You're following the world. You're adhering to their standards and their values. And God said, I will not have it. So we thank the Lord for this time that we have this day. And God bless you. And we'll talk more about it next time in the name of Jesus.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to just look at verse 4, and if the Spirit leads us to go elsewhere, we will obey. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, I want to pick up from our last message. But I want us to look at that fourth verse, and it says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. I want to ask you, how much are you willing to pay for your commitment? How much are you willing to pay for your commitment? Now, this, of course, is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the example that each and every one of us should follow, as giving our lives completely and totally to God as the children of God. It is a word that is helpful for us to understand that when we become children of the Most High God, there is a standard by which we are called to operate on and to live by. And yet it is important for us to realize that as children of the Most High God, the requirement that God expects of us must be lived out in the world that we live in. And we can't say we're all of that and God is all of that to us, but we're not willing to show it in our lifestyles. We can talk a good talk, but he's looking for us also to walk a good walk, to walk circumspectly, for us to walk with an air of respect, to walk with an air of honor, to walk with an air of authority, for the young people to stand up and stand out in this dark world as children again of the Most High God. Now, when saying this, it's important how the writer of the Hebrews puts this in order. He's already talked about, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then look what he says in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, and that word finisher means perfecter, of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But look at what he goes on to say in verse 3. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. Now, we dealt with that last week, but now verse 4 says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So here's what you need to understand. Before you start talking like you all are that, and when you start talking about it's so hard to live a Christian life and it's so hard to do this and then all of this, you consider the one who gave everything that was to give, because you were set before him and he recognized in order to save you, he had to give himself up. And so what you need to understand, that he didn't just give of himself, he gave himself to the shedding of his blood, to the dying on the cross, to the releasing of his spirit to God in an effort to save whosoever will, and that includes all of us who are believers. But the question becomes, how much are we willing to pay for our commitment? See, Jesus was committed to the cause. He was committed to the cause. And because he was committed to the cause, the commitment caused and cost him everything. See, some of us say we're committed, but we ain't committed. We're not committed. We won't even, now get mad if you want, but this is the truth. We won't even give him the 10%. Then you've got some foolish folk who don't know the word talking about, well, you know, ain't no more tithe and ain't no more. You're right. It's grace giving. It's more than tithe. But if you won't even start at tithing, what makes you think you're going to do more than that? You won't even pray. I bet the average person, you can't get to come up and pray the prayer. And I'm talking about people who claim that they are this and that for the Lord. I'm not even just talking about a regular believer. I'm talking about people with position. You got people. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out where your level of commitment is, what you're willing to pay to say that you are who you are in Christ Jesus. You won't even come study his word. But I tell you what, you'll make time for Greenleaf, and you'll make time for something about Mary Jane, and you can't wait till Empire come back on and stuff like that. Oh, you're gonna be there, and if you can't make that, you're gonna set your DVR. Oh, you committed to that. Some of y'all know the stories more than you know any story in the world. You know what the bold and beautiful, the young and the restless, and the rest of the messes are doing. But you couldn't quote five good scriptures. I'm just trying to figure out your level of commitment, because you need to know you're going to have to pay something. Sooner or later, payment time is coming. And see, what I'm trying to help you to understand is, if you are not getting yourself ready to be able to give to God what is due God, the devil is going to put a requirement on you that's ultimately going to cost you more than you're willing to pay, because you are counterfeiting your commitment. It sounds good in here, but what really makes the difference is when you walk outside of these doors, what are you really representing? Who are you really representing? We don't do right, you know, and I mean, it's all good. Some of us are good show people. Some people show. Listen, we haven't, and this is a wonderful example. We've got calamities that come up. Folk won't give to God, but let a special offering come. And I'm talking about for whatever the case is. We give far more than we give to God because it's a show. We say we're going to do it for compassion and all the rest of that. No, but it's for show, because nobody has to tell you, make you do when you really want to do. Nobody ought to have to make you do that. But then nobody ought to have to make you stand up for Christ and fulfill your responsibilities and your obligations. And then you get mad when folk tell you about it, because it ain't nothing but that comes from the enemy that's stirring up on the inside. Because if you were truly sincere about the things of God, no one would have to make you do what you're committed to do. But let your situation come up, and you want folk to represent you. You want folk to stand up for you. You want folk to say something for you. But let me say this to you. This word says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. In other words, your commitment has not cost you anything. I mean, not anything that's costing you something. You might have something, but that ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about you. He's not talking about what you have. He's not talking about the things you represent. He's talking about you, the person. What commitment level are you operating on? Because see, some of us can be shut down just by folk looking at us. Some folk look at you like they don't like you, and you stop representing Christ. Some folk talk, and it's not the talk that you want to talk. And you're scared to keep talking for Christ because you might be outnumbered in the talking. How do you not know you can change the number if you talk the right talk for Christ? Maybe there's nobody representing him because you aren't talking. How do you not know what God will do for you if you'll open up your mouth and speak the realities of who he is to you? You can't speak to him about what and who he is to others, but you certainly ought to be able to be a witness for yourself. To hear people put down on Jesus and you do not lift him up is an indictment against who you say you are. You wouldn't let nobody sit there and talk down about your mama. Now, you may let them talk about your daddy, but you ain't gonna let them talk about your mama. Then how could you let them talk about your Savior? Your Lord, the one who gave himself and his life to save you, who was not worthy of his redemption and salvation, who gave to you and gives to you all of the essence of what true life and real life is all about, and you can't even represent him. You can't stand and be counted. You won't stand and be seen. You won't stand and represent, but yet you say, I'm a child of the Most High God. And yet you've not resisted unto blood. In other words, you've not been in no real fight. And I'm not talking about a physical fight. I'm not talking about with no guns and no knives. And I'm talking about spiritually speaking, though. But yet in the spirit realm, it could result in the physical realm. Men like Paul and the apostles and the early church gave their literal lives for the cause of Christ. They were beaten. They were stoned. They were treated in inhumane ways because they lifted up Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Those days are on their way back again. They're on their way back again. The church has been so quiet and their light has been so dim that they've allowed the world to bring them to such a low place in the world representing the Lord God that we serve, so much so that the world has lost its respect for the church. When was the last time you saw a funeral passing by and folk pulled over, pulled their hats off their head? Old drunks took cigarettes out their mouths and put there because they represented those things that respected the church. You know, there used to be folk when you see them pass by a church, it doesn't matter if they were Catholic, whatever the case. Now, you know, I don't know where the Baptists get it, but everybody did. They make the sign of the cross. They don't do that. They go right there on the church steps and drink and cuss and fuck. Now, I take that back. They'll come inside the church and act like they're in some place that is irreverent and ungodly because there is no respect for God. And my brothers and sisters, we're going to be held accountable for how we represent God. Don't think God is not looking, that God is not taking account, that God is not keeping a record of all of these things. Everything that you say, everything that you do, you're going to have to give an account for. And so, as I conclude this feeble little message this morning, it's just to ask you, what level of commitment are you willing to pay for your salvation, representing the one who gave his blood and his life for you? How much are you willing to pay? How much are you willing to say? How far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to do? How can you make yourself accountable to God in representing who he is to you and what he's done for you? This ain't the kind of message that makes you shout, but I got news for you. If you don't shout now on the realities of his truth, you're going to shout later in a place where nobody cares about your shouting. And so this is an individual time of checking ourselves. This is not pointing the finger at anybody. This is every one of us looking on the inside. What is my commitment level? Because I got news for you. You're going to be tested continually. And I promise you, the next time you're tested, the Spirit of the living God's going to bring this word back to you. And the question will be, how will you respond when you are tested by the world? Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Your sacrifice has not cost you blood and cost you your life. It has not cost you the things that are so precious to you, and yet you still don't represent him to the level that you can. And our example is what Jesus did for us. How can we deny him when he did not only save us, but he has given us life eternal, but even life more abundantly, both on this side and on the other side to come? His word is filled with promises so that our lives can be lived to the fullest, so we can represent him and find ourselves in a whole new place of honor when we honor the one who honors us. He picks us up. He dusts us off. He washes us. He cleanses us. He elevates us. He promotes us. He puts us in places we don't deserve to be, and we can't even honor him. We can't even say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening doors for us. Yes, we educated ourselves. Yes, we prepared ourselves. But I got news for you. He gave you the opportunity. He gave you the favor for and among those folk who found favor in you. He puts you in a position and then calls the time to be the right time so that something good would happen for you that you didn't even deserve. Amen. He calls folk to see you when you were hurting, when you wouldn't open up your mouth to say I'm hurting, to help you because he loves you and knows you better than you know yourself. And he keeps on interceding, making ways, blessing, and bridging the gap between your lack and your blessings because he loves you. You wouldn't be here from last Sunday to this Sunday if he hadn't stepped in so many times to bridge the gap for you to be here.
And some of us won't even say, thank you, Jesus. Won't even say, praise the Lord. Won't even say, hallelujah. Won't even say, glory to God. Won't even give him the praise that he's due in his house. And if the devil would have had his way, we would not be here today. Somebody ought to give him glory. The question is, can the Lord depend on you? The old folk used to say, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But then there was another song that says, but is my Lord satisfied with me? Is he satisfied with you? Are you representing him to the best of your ability? Are you giving him your best through serving mankind and offering the best of your encouragement and your love and your support? Are you at the point where you're ready to say, Lord, if you need somebody, here am I. Send me. Use me. If nobody else will speak for you, Lord, here I am. Give me what you want me to say and I'll say it. Lord, if you want me to help folk, bless me. And what I have, I will use what I've got. It might not be much, but what I've got, I'll use it for your glory. If you need somebody, here am I. Send me. Does your commitment go to that level? If not, my brothers and sisters, may I say to you that it's so important that you recognize God saved you so you could be an instrument in helping to save others. God bless you. The doors of the church are open. I just want to say that God loves you so very much. And what he did on Calvary, he would have done it for just you. Just you. If you would have been the only one to accept him. And so when this level of commitment comes to your individual responsibility, it ought to make you consider all that Jesus did just for you. And know that nobody has ever loved you or will ever love you like Jesus loves you. No one has ever given you as much as Jesus has given and will give to you. Mother, father, others have made many sacrifices for you, but none has ever sacrificed for you like Jesus has sacrificed for you. So it ought to make you want to stand up and represent him right. Go the extra mile. Give the extra gift. Move in the way that he leads you to move. Speak when he leads you to speak.